Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the point.
Jason Carey. About time to get this thing started. So we're going to get this thing started. Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network, man. It's season two of Running the Point with Jason Carey, so I'm glad everybody is tuning in. How I always start this is like saying the grace, man. It's like saying the grace. So I want to say thank you to you guys that are listening right now. You're taking the time to listen to me. I know there's a million podcasts out there. Everybody's competing for ears. So the fact that you take the time to listen to me, I appreciate that, man. So I appreciate everybody that's on here.
Amen.
So let's get this thing kicked off. Today I got, we probably had this podcast before because we have had tons of conversations, but it's time to let other people in on the conversation that we're going to have today. But I want to introduce who I have. I got my man, King Cellini. My man Cellini is with me today. What's
blessings,
up, Cellini?
Blessings, man. Thank you for having us.
Man, Cellini and I go way back in the game, man. Almost a... you know,
man.
Before my first solo record, he is instrumental in my solo career as an artist and as in my development from there. So instrumental and a friend. So and my homeboy, a brother. Indeed. Also, I got my man fresh to the crew. You know what I mean?
Yes.
For me. Fresh to the crew for me. But fam nonetheless, because he came through the perfect conduit, which is my man Cellini. So welcome to the show, my man OG.
OG's in the building.
What's up, OG?
Man, I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
I'm doing excellent, man.
Excellent.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, OG, so, to you guys that listen to the radio show.
Yes.
And listen to JC Squared on the air. You definitely have heard my man OG and you heard the music. OG had a new project out right now.
Yeah, man. Closer to Me.
Closer to Me.
Oh, man. Doing great. Doing wonderful.
For those that don't know, OG, tell them where you from, man.
I'm from Jamaica. Chilani, Jamaica.
Official.
Officially, you know?
Not
I'm starting introducing
up
myself with the accent now because some people, you don't sound Jamaican enough, so I got to start letting them know, man. Jamaica, I come from. Ah, the weird.
Under the mango tree.
Under the mango tree, man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, indeed. Closer to Me is a new project, lead single.
The lead single, you know what, man? We're going with Fianza right now.
Okay.
That's what we're going because it's summer coming up and it's for the ladies, you know.
Okay.
That's what we're going with right now, man. Fianza.
And where can they find it if they want to go get the music?
Man, everywhere music's at. iTunes, Tidal, Spotify. It's all over, man.
And do they look up OG or O'Dane?
O'Dane Gibson, because that's my name. But, you know, just cut it short, OG for people. But O'Dane Gibson, definitely, you know.
So you got
are closer up to me in iTunes. It's going to pop up. It's, I think it's the only album on there with that title.
Okay.
So, yeah, man.
So look up O'Dane Gibson. Or Closer to Me.
The
project, man.
Yes, sir.
Please get that project.
Please.
Anybody. And people tend to listen. I appreciate the people listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate y'all.
Please,
listen,
please.
Go pick up the record.
Oh, yeah.
All proceeds go towards the renting out of a movie theater to send 100 unfortunate black kids.
Stop it.
To go see Black Panther. Go support it.
A round trip ticket to Wakanda.
To Wakanda, yeah.
With a pit stop.
You've been to Wakanda. Legit. Been there.
So, on Running the Point, what we do, there's something we call the jump ball, which is our main topic today, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting topic, and I'm glad you're here as well, OG. The topic today, the jump ball, is hip-hop.
Hip-hop.
Are we losing our culture due to lack of respect? Hip-hop. Are we losing our culture due to lack of respect? Now, why I say that is, you know, I was at DJ Nabs. Anybody, world famous DJ Nabs. Anybody knows him? Nabs in the Lab. Nabs. Shout out to him. If you don't know who he is, look him up. He released a book called The Club Kaya Experience. Mm-hmm. Old school Sundays, the Club Kaya Experience.
Shout out to Felix.
And so, and he has, Nabs had the foresight to record, audio record through the board and hang microphones and have a cameraman in there every night from the start of Club Kaya. Mm. And so he has footage that artists don't even have. He owns it. He got Chris Lover before he's Ludacris. He got Jay-Z performing, jumping across the stage, wow, talking about my album just went platinum. They should have never let me go platinum. Jay-Z's. So he has Run DMC in there performing. Just everybody that's come through there and showing. And he had the, who would it call? The Executioners, the DJs. They come through because he wanted to showcase DJing and just having a good time. And he was so smart to record all that stuff. And now, so he's putting it back out in a book and some documentary series. So if you don't have the book, get it. Check that out. I think
check that out.
At the maddj.com, I believe is his website. Nabs, you want me to check? But no,
for me so I can get those for later, you know what I mean? I let my phone.
So I respect. Yeah. I respect my man, DJ Nabs, heavy. And but also where he did the release, he went through, partnered with us as a company, and we did a silent release. So we had the headphones and we had the DJs in there. So they was listening to headphones and I was hosting.
Okay.
And then we watched the documentary and had a Q&A. It was a dope situation. But it was in Little Five Points at Mood Music. And if you ever never been in the Mood Music, they got CDs. They got all the old school CDs. Mm-hmm. You can actually listen to them. Yeah. I'm looking at Royal Flush, Group Home. I'm looking at Nas' first joint. I'm looking at Boogie Down Productions. I'm looking at Poor Righteous Teachers. I'm looking at UGK's first joints. Mm-hmm. So all of them in CD form in there, you know. And so I'm sitting there talking with a couple of fellas and just kind of talking about this.
Yes.
After we had this conversation, because Nabs is not just a DJ; he's like a hip hop historian. If you get a chance to talk to Nabs, he's like a historian. He's not Southern hip hop, it's hip hop, you know, with him. You talk to him, he's from Durham, North Carolina, but he moved out here like 89, 88 or something, he said. So all that to say that fast forward to now, and we have artists that like, I don't care about Biggie and I don't care about, you know what I mean? Those kind of comments happen. It's an uproar about it.
Yeah.
But hip hop is more than just music, of course. Mm-hmm. We know what it is. We know culture, graffiti, break dancing. You know what I mean? DJing, rapping, all of that goes into this culture that is hip hop. But now it permeates through commercials, sports. Mm-hmm. People are dressed a certain way and don't even realize that you're dressed like this because of hip hop. But we don't. I feel like even the people that's in hip hop. Mm-hmm. Don't even respect this path. Don't even respect that all of this came from that. Because we forget records. Now I go to these parties. I do parties. And DJs forget music. I'm constantly listening to records like old records. I was riding around. This week I've been riding around listening to There's a Dark Side and What the Album from Red Man. That's what I've been listening to this week. Ryan Leslie's first and second album. I was listening to that. So just I be riding around listening. And that's just me. I was listening to Pocket Full of Stones. And I was listening to all that. UGK's first couple of albums last week, and that's what where my mind goes.
Yeah.
So I'm asking, being in hip hop, being in this culture, what's your perspective? Do you see it that way? Do you see people we're losing this our culture through what it being watered down and from whatever? Are we losing it?
Well, you want to look at it from a couple perspectives. I mean, society wants you to look at it from a two-dimensional, you know, perspective where we either have the culture, we don't have a culture, but there's a lot of nuance in between. Mm-hmm. When it comes to hip-hop, it's where we're putting the emphasis on, you know, because like what you're saying is very true. You know, when you go to these parties and you see DJs playing records, like, if they knew better, they would do better.
Mm.
But you do have DJs that do better. Mm. But as a culture, we're, like, allergic to, like, highlighting the real again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like shout out to my man DJ Technology. Like, if you go, and I believe at the end of this month at the Graveyard, he's going to do another ATL party where he's playing nothing but A-Town music.
Mm, so going way back.
To do this, I'm talking about Goody Mob. I'm talking about Cool Breeze. I'm talking about, like, the real A, like, the real East Side, the real Decatur, you know? And to go back to that, like...
Straight from the deck.
It takes...
Ghetto Mafia. Go ahead.
It takes... It takes experience, and then also it takes knowledge. Like, he has to be, there's a connection, and what we're seeing is a big disconnect in our society, you know, because, like, I'm at an age, I'm 39, so I'm at an age where my whole life has been hip hop since 1978
Correct.
To now. I am hip hop.
Correct.
As I evolve, hip hop evolves too, you know, but for our younger generation, they're not as connected as far as, like, knowledge and wisdom. And so what we're seeing is the elders, you know what I mean, not necessarily being responsible of teaching, you know, the newer generation what the culture is, what the tradition is. You know, I'm a product of the culture, the tradition. You know, the certain moves that we do is because the OGs put us on.
OGs.
Like, I remember vividly, you know, going, like, back in the days when, you know, we were getting money back in VA, hustling. You know, you got, like, 5,000 in your pocket ready to go party in D.C. And then, you know, the OG, shout out to E. He was like, yo, where are you going? And I got have my jean jacket, you know, the Timbs. I thought I was fresh. He was like, where do you think we're going? We're about to go party. I'm like, what do you mean party? I'm fresh. He's like, nah, that ain't fresh. So we pull over by the mall, and, you know what I mean, that was the first time I was able to get, you know what I mean, my gaiters, you know what I mean, the first time I was able to get my slacks, you know, everything.
Yeah.
And when I got there, I was like, when I got to D.C., I was so thankful.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, oh, man, I almost looked like the mascot up in here. I thought it was a real party. You know, like, these are parties where, like, Chuck Iverson will go to the door and they wouldn't let him in because Mike's in there. Like, literally, like, you know, Iverson used to have a reputation of just, like, pulling up at the club with just balling shorts.
Yeah.
And they told him, like, nah, Mike's in here. Like, either going to be in a suit or, you know, you're going to be out here. And so when I look at that, you know, if I didn't have OGs in my life to really show me how to maneuver, how to evolve. You know, it was almost at the same time. Like, and the crazy part was a couple years later, everybody was in button-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So that shows you another level of evolution, you know, when you're looking at Jay-Z and the impact that he's had on the culture.
And it's hip-hop. All of it is hip-hop. But as you, like you said, the OGs, just to go back to even that, when you said that, made me think about my OG taught me how to clean my sneakers.
Yeah.
Like, man, you got to keep your sneakers clean. You don't just put them on and play in the dirt. Yeah. You got play shoes for that. Take this toothbrush and clean your sneakers. I've been cleaning my sneakers with a toothbrush since I was, like, in the third grade. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it's kids now that don't even know nothing about no toothbrush or washing your shoestrings in the sink. You know what I'm saying?
Getting fresh bleach. Have it soaked for a couple of days.
Yeah.
They don't know nothing about that. But all of that is hip-hop. And I think you hit the nail on the head with not passing it down. We don't take ownership to it
because
it's always been.
Yeah.
For us, it's always been. So we just think that everybody else is going to just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that ain't the case. And that goes through everything. We'll get into the Black Panther thing. We don't really have to get into it. But that is the problem that we're seeing in this. The back and forth is a lot of OGs haven't taken ownership of things.
These youngins don't even know how to party, period.
Oh, no, not at all.
So, like, when you say, like, ownership, what you mean, like, it's ownership of what?
Ownership of ownership of hip-hop itself, culture itself, mm-hmm. like that the culture is important. That, and it seems like just vanity when we talk about cleaning shoes, yeah, but it ain't really about that. It's about presenting yourself a certain way. You know what I'm saying? I don't walk around with a dirty t-shirt on. Like, the dirty thug started somewhere in there. I don't understand that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, the gangster was always fresh.
Yeah.
You remember? You know what I'm saying? The gangsters had on tailored suits. The thugs was the one. It was the fall guy. Mm. So it never made sense to want to be the thug.
Never be a thug. Never. They don't dress this well.
They don't dress this well. It's true. I don't understand where the respect for the dirty thug ever came from.
That's crazy.
The gangster was fresh.
But I'll
the gangster you, made decisions.
But I'll tell you something, right?
It's Mobb Deep fault? No, I'm
joking. This is family. You know, this is family at this podcast. Uh-huh. So there's certain things, you know, I could allude to, but I'm not necessarily going to speak on,
uh-huh.
you know, and coming back again, going back to those days, especially, you know, in Richmond, where we were getting it in, you know what I mean? Like, the homie T-Wrong,
mm-hmm.
he always says, like, I remember one day we were counting up,
mm-hmm.
and, like, he just stopped, and he was just like, man, I wonder what the crack baby's going to look like when they fully develop.
Wow.
It really hit me, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. like from a spiritual perspective,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it was one of those conversations that just like LeVar Ball says, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Like I stayed in my lane. I said, I'm just going to be like a farmer. You know, Jay would tell you coming to my crib. It was like the Wintergreen Resort, you know,
uh-huh.
but. At that time, we had friends that were doing everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when he said, like, I wonder what crack babies will look like once they're fully developed. Like, it's 2018 and they're fully developed. So now we're seeing exactly, you know, what, the results of what we put out there. And that's the ownership that we're not necessarily taking accountability for.
That's tough. Oh, and I found a bill. I forgot to bring it. I found the bell. Ding. when you say a jewel or something, it's the jewel bell. You ding. You supposed to hit it.
Your head.
And I found the bell. And I took a picture and sent it to you. I meant to send it to you. But anyway, nonetheless, ding, dog. that was one right there, man. What the crack baby's gonna look like? And we are seeing the result of this.
We are.
So to bring you into this conversation,
eating Tide Pods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truth. Like, so to bring you in this conversation,
they're glorified for being junkies.
Pills. Yeah, you're right. All of that. And it's like, whose fault is it?
Getting major ass for being a junkie.
Whose fault it is?
So OG, how old, industry-wise, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Oh, hold on. I'm 27.
27. You're 27 years old. And so your perspective, I was 27 when I put out my first record.
First album, solo album.
I was okay. First
born,
record
born,
I put. I was
to motivate.
Yeah, I was 14 when I recorded my first song. wrote my first rhyme at 11. I put that first solo record out. We had tons of group projects, but the first solo record was then. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, when you got here, you know, hip hop was already here. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, like your parents struggled, and then when you were born, they were in this nice house. Dad got his, everybody got their promotion. You don't know nothing about the older days, you know?
Hey, no, man.
So from your perspective, how are you seeing hip-hop where it is and where it's developing?
Man, the way hip-hop is at right now, to me, that's a deep question, because I wasn't raised on hip-hop like that. You know what I'm saying? I was not raised upon hip-hop. So, like, I moved here back in 2009, and I'm just seeing it. Me personally, I felt like the way it's at right now.
2009.
Yeah, 2009.
I'm trying to think, what was hot 2009?
Drake.
So Drake is hip-hop to you?
In its purest form.
And it's so crazy. They didn't talk about hip-hop, where hip-hop is going. Like, hip-hop, like... Because everybody define hip-hop a little different. Because if I asked a little kid, I feel like I asked a kid at like 20 years old, be like, what's hip-hop? Oh, yeah, Lil Pump or a Lil Hoosevelt. Do you consider that hip-hop?
No. That's rap.
They're rapping.
Yeah.
But it's all the culture. It's part of it.
Like we
I can't, we can't hold on to it.
We're going to break it down right now because we're on a ATL podcast and it needs to be breakdown. Like, hip hop has four elements. Like the culture in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And out of those four elements, there is a fifth element, you know, that combusted. So we're going to take it all the way back. The first element is graffiti, the art. So shout out to all of the artists out there that are doing an amazing job on Croke Street. Like all of these landmarks in Atlanta that are actually putting murals out there. Mm-hmm. That's hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Like in its purest form.
It's hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Then from graffiti, the next element that we have is the DJ.
Mm-hmm.
The DJ, you know, shout out to everyone that comes from the yard, from Jamaica, because that's where hip hop actually, when you look at DJ Kool Herc, like hip hop takes its roots from reggae music. Mm-hmm. You know, the break beats and all that, and the DJs that help pioneer the vibe. That's the element in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like being able to just be in the park, you know, like having a barbecue, a cookout, a house party. Shout out to the DJ that actually provided the vibe. That's the second element of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get as much respect as they should.
At all.
They don't play their part anymore as much as they should.
Truth.
But shout out to the DJ. The DJ is essential to the culture. The third element is the B-boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone has to, like, we went to a party last Friday, and, you know, the DJ Courtney, she was doing her thing,
yeah.
And everybody was stiff, and OG just went there and just started, he's just like you. Like, I'll party by my damn self.
Yeah.
One deep for Dolo.
Word
right?
up.
And one of the,
I love it. I appreciate
Amen.
You.
Amen. Yeah. That's how it's supposed to be.
And one of the baddest joints in the whole club just pull up on him, and I'm talking about this man was on, like, about to scrub
the
floor
ground,
out there. And everybody was just staring at him, watching, like, just like, yeah, this is what fun looks like.
Exactly.
You know? And so, you know, the third element is the B-boy, the, you know, the dancer. You know, that's where when you see these young kids out there doing their challenges and their dances, that is hip-hop in its purest form. So it's still relevant. It's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of those three elements came the MC. Now, the MC is the element of hip-hop that got corrupted. The MC is the element, you know, there was a point where people would say, you know what? I'm not going to MC anymore. I'm going to start rapping. So we had hybrid artists that were capable of MCing and rapping.
Mm-hmm.
And they created an entire lane for rappers. And when I mean rappers, these are people that they just rapping a sandwich. They just rapping a gift. like nothing's coming out. It's like CB4.
The crack
like,
babies?
You know, like CB4 always has been there.
Yeah.
But it was just never glorified.
Yeah.
You know, like bum people, you know what I mean? F-boys have always been there.
Yeah.
They just never been glorified. They've been there since the beginning. Right? And so now we got those four elements. But when you put those four elements, you know, combined, you know, there was a combustion that took place, which is the fifth element of hip-hop, which is entrepreneurship. You know what I mean? Like, hip-hop is probably the only thing in Black America that is somewhat associated to ownership.
Mm.
You know, shout out to Russell Simmons. Shout out to Dame Dash, yeah. Jay Prince, Master P.
Mm-hmm.
Master P. Like, he doesn't get enough credit, you know what I mean, for what he did for the music. But
Nipsey Hussle said, we the No Limit of the West.
That's it.
Percy Miller.
Suge Knight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of brothers, you know, that really put it down as far as like ownership, because when you own your culture, when you own yourself, you know, you control the narratives. But, you know, like a lot of time when you look at the rapping element, we don't necessarily own ourselves. So the people, some of these labels, major labels that you see produce these artists, they control the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's easy to have a CB4 rapper out there because you can easily duplicate that.
Mm-hmm.
like by the millions, like yo, he's done. Put another pump. Put another little fizz, little diz, kiss.
And you're making the point of us losing, because that's a lack of respect.
Yeah. We're not. It's not losing.
People sit in the crowd. Hip hop is the only genre that people sit in the crowd and say, "I can do that."
It's not, and that's what I'm saying. Your perspective is like if you're looking at us as a culture from the outside, then you could say that we're losing. But if you're looking at it from the inside, I don't think that we're losing. Like, I'm on a hip-hop podcast right now. Like, we still own.
Correct.
Like when I look, like, people that own. Mm-hmm. See, when you own something, you're not really too preoccupied as far as what's going on around you. It's only the moment that you don't own anything that you just, like, window shopping, window watching, you know, like, so, you know, when we start seeing... You know, like, so when people, even in the city of Atlanta, they're like, man, like, the vibe is not the same or this. I'm like, I hear you, but that's not my experience. Like, any given Sunday, I could literally go get an authentic vibe because, one, I own my own experience.
Which brings me to a point. You're right. If you want whatever you want, you can find it. In hip hop, if you're looking for the boom bap to the rapidity rap, you can find it.
Yeah.
If you're looking for that experience, you can find it. In Atlanta, you can find whatever. You can go to the glitz, you can go to the grime, you can go to whatever you want to get. And so I agree, but I think that it's people that don't want to do the work. And that's where we lose on the surface. That's where we're losing. When I say losing the culture, not us losing it's the like culture, I think it's getting watered down. But, so I think that the public gets lost.
You're right, but you got to think about it, right? Hip-hop in the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. We were self-validated. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, we are dictating the styles that America is going to embrace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally still remember going to the University of Richmond, you know, and walking into a business classroom with a do-rag on, you know, like, because at that point, that was part of the culture. I had my do-rag on nicely. Like, I was Prodigy or something. Like, you know, probably was influenced by Prodigy at the time.
Because
Mobb Deep was, like, the, you know, the hardest group in the street, point blank, period.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all coast. Right? And so it's not like we ever cared about what people thought about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like we cared about what we just thought about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere, you know, we migrated from that shift of like doing for self to now somebody doing it for us.
Mm.
Like, see, this generation, they want somebody to give them the real. They don't want to just take the real themselves. Mm-hmm. They want someone to give them that experience. It's like we are in an age of entitlement to really put it in blunt quotes.
Yeah.
Meaning like they feel like they are entitled, like if they go to a party, right? I shouldn't have to put any energy in this party. But this party, because I pay to get in, should give me all of the energy. It doesn't work like that.
So how you turn that around though? Like how you turn that around?
How we turn
bring it back to the days where like all the stuff, the point you just made, you know what I'm saying? Where people actually like get the real and, you know what I'm saying, go out there
I
and find
think
it.
That it's, when I go back to ownership,
yeah.
I think that it's up to us who understand that that the element is there if yeah. we create it. Like I talked about Nabs. Uh-huh. Nabs wanted a different experience. That's why they created Club Kaya.
Yeah.
And just watching, I'm like, that's Genius and I work together, Genius and Jason Experience is like, man, we're going to create parties
yeah.
and events where this is what you're going to do. We went so far as to say, man, we're going to create a party where you got to leave your phone. You can leave your phone in the car.
Yeah.
We're going to do parties like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Leave your phone in the car and just come in. And we actually did a poll about it. And most people said they would. And then some people was like, well, I got kids. It was like, what do you think your parents did?
Yeah.
They left you at the babysitter and found out what was up when you got there.
Exactly.
If you fail, they find out when they see that Band-Aid when they get there. Ain't no phone calls. So,
but we got to get back to that point where when they say we got kids, this ain't your party.
Yeah.
You go to the party where they let you with your phone in.
Go to something else. Yeah. And that's to answer your question. Mm-hmm. I think taking that ownership, because you asked that question about yeah. taking the ownership of it and using as OGs to say, hey, this how it was, this is how, and it's not just being nostalgic and forgetting about yeah. going forward. It's yeah. like, hey, this was a good part of how it was. Right. We can take the elements, you know, DJs got laptops and stuff like that. That's the new part.
Yeah.
This is the energy. This is the energy from back in the day that still works now.
But you know what, too? You know what the digital age has done? The digital age
killed
has
the album.
It didn't kill the album. it killed the expectation of the person, meaning like before to get a certain element, like you really had to go to that element. Like back in the day, if you really wanted to get like that gangster hard body record, like you had to go to the hood club. Like back in Richmond, we used to go to the Boss. And Jason would tell you like you better be about that life if you're gonna go to Club Boss on Sunday.
One way in, one way out.
Upstairs. That's how I'm talking about. Like Mobb Deep pulled up and a security walked in the club, right? Yeah. They looked around. They said, nah, this ain't the club we coming to, and kept it moving. And that's the club we call home, as stupid as we were. You know, because like we are home. Like you this man is Tackleberry. Yeah. You know, like, so you got to understand, we going to a club where, like, everyone in the club has, like, something. The least is two knives.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, I had a special pair of boots out and a flat knife out because I walk in the club with it.
Period. Period.
Wait, and y'all not supposed to know that part about me.
But that's going to the party to go get to hear that No Limit Soldier. If you want to hear that Pastor Joy, ain't no playing GA. You got to go there. But somehow technology allowed it to where you could be in your own, and you could be in Brookhaven and still have that experience.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
DJ, just run through the set. Like all these.
And so people, like when they go, to their experience right now, it's like they go to a club and they want all of these experiences without even going to those elements to get those true experiences. And then they have the worst experience because in real life, it doesn't necessarily pan out like that. Mm. Meaning like, you know, if you really want to get authentic trap music, you want to go to, let's say, the strip club in Atlanta. Like, that's where they break records. If you want to hear the next record, go to Blue Flame any given Sunday. Get yourself a 10-piece lemon pepper wing. You know what I mean? Like
very specific about this experience.
And you will truly experience, you know, the bass, the trap, the music in its proper context and its prop. Like, when I'm in the Blue Flame, I'm not trying to hear Talib Kweli. Like, I am petrified if Lauryn Hill comes on. She may put her clothes back on. That's not the environment for that.
That type of stuff.
True.
You know, but at the same time, if I'm at a function, I'm not trying to hear, you know, like that trap stuff either. Mm. You know, I may want to hear, you know, like some.
It's cool to hear
something that's cool for that environment. And so, again, it goes back down to, like, people just don't know how to live anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't know, they don't know how to party anymore. Like, for me to get the ultimate party experience, I had to go all the way to Trinidad and Tobago, you know what I mean, while we're up 2:30 in the morning partying, dancing until the sun came up to get that. I can't get that here, you know, and Atlanta was kind of like that, to where, you know, you go to the east side and the west side of Palace, you know what I mean, all these places like in Bankhead to get that experience. And then when you go downtown, you're getting like the top 40 experience.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and to a certain degree, you know, I kind of feel responsible because, you know, as we were emerging here in Atlanta, like with DJ Technology at the Cuckoo Room, we brought to the city a formula that they are still to this day trying to replicate, which is like kind of it's passport music. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, the real inspiration was really the wrong song, meaning what was
Russ
it?
Paul.
Russ Parr, like in DC, like every Friday, like they'll have a radio show where they'll
DJ
just play
Sixth
like
Sense plays
like
the wrong
songs
song.
Like at random. I'm talking about like you go from like Mystical to like Take On Me, Aha.
Hall & Oates.
Or Hall & Oates, and then you go to like Sade. Like, so you'll never get, you know, like, if you think that you're going to get, if you know what the next song is going to be, you don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, from taking that idea, you know, Tech was able to create a whole new experience, you know, for Atlanta, as far as, like, having an event where, like, you're going to get a piece of Vegas, a piece of Latin America, a piece of Jamaica, because he has all of these experiences. These are authentic experiences. Like, we literally travel the world. We go to Vegas. We go to Trinidad. We go to all of these places to get these experiences and bring them back. And a lot of people in Atlanta have been traveling as well.
Yeah.
And so it's like we go to these places and we get these experiences. But what happens is, like, we forget about our own experiences, what the city of Atlanta brings also to the world. And that's where, and that's the part that we are now, where you got these club promoters that are now frowning, like, we don't want to hear no trap music, or like, what do you mean? This is Atlanta. Like, people don't come here to come listen to Suavemente. No,
Suavemente. Official ATL. And I want to jump in here on that the people that are listening, I want them to know, you hear the passion in which we can speak about our culture, you know what I mean? And I think that's the thing that I want to get across, mainly to anybody that's that's listening, anybody's paying attention, that it ain't just music, yo.
It's deeper than that.
You know what I mean? It ain't just clothes.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
It ain't just, I don't wear this fitted hat just because. They play in these baseball hats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we wear it for style. You know what I'm saying? Rain boots became style, things of that nature, you know what I'm saying? It was functional, you know. It's not just a painting, you know. Chris Brown is an ill artist, not just on the music, painting, and he's taking it to clothes and all that, you know what I mean? Boy is like a treasure.
You gotta give it up.
Need to treasure him. They talk about whatever troubles he had, treasure that dude.
True,
like. What he brings, everything, like, put out a 45 song album.
Never been done before.
Before Royalty came out, he put out a 30 song mixtape. The album before that,
I missed that.
It's a 30 song mixtape. It's like, all his music, who's listening to all this? You don't know, but it takes that long to dissect, and it should. A guy like that, and I just using that as an example that there's depth to the culture that we have.
Just
and,
like
we need to love what we're doing.
Just listen to, like, King. I'm from Jamaica, you know what I mean? So it's like just going down the history of it, bro. Like, I can feel the passion. Like, I feel like I'm, like, literally living the culture, hearing y'all, like, expressing y'all emotions about it. Like, indeed. It's coming from a deep place, man.
Correct.
It is deep. You're right.
And so when I say ownership, like, it means something to me.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying? Because it's as he said, we came up in it. It's me.
Yeah.
You know
what I
mean?
It's
the way I talk, the way I walk, the way I move. We the most skilled because I can switch.
Yeah.
I can exist anywhere.
Yeah.
That's probably possibly why we're feared as we are because, you know, you can put us anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's almost like we're double agents. It's time to start thinking
but James
Bond-ish.
The thing is, like you say, you got to be able to do for self. Like, I remember one time when we were back in VA. And Katrina hit. And I was like, Jason, like, man, we got to do something. Like, how can we raise money? And this is little us.
Yeah.
Like, man, listen, man. Call some strippers. We're about to have a strip party, man. You know what
the
I mean?
The thing was, we used the culture.
Like the culture. Like, had my sister. Shout out to Deej, Khadijah. Yeah. She was out there working the bar. You know what I mean? Jason,
awesome,
like,
man.
Conflict. They were playing security. I'm talking about Jason came to the crib with walkie-talkie radios. You know what I mean? Like, literally, we had, like, communication throughout the whole house. We raised, like, about, like, $2,000 to $3,000. And he went and donated to the Red Cross.
Damn.
But that's what happens when you own your own vibe, your own culture, your own self. You could do that. Yeah. And I think I definitely see the city going back to those roots because everything, you know what I mean, happens in cycle. You know, like, you're going to be so tired of being dictated to.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, people going to snap and they're going to realize, like, they're responsible for their own happiness. They're responsible for their own vibe.
Wow.
Like you're going to see, like, man, like, when you look at King Cellini, Jason, OG, it's just more wins. More like, it's wins. Not going to stop. And, like, with social media, you're just going to keep seeing those
keep
wins.
Keep seeing the win.
And so at some point, you're going to ask yourself, like, what can I do? And when you realize that you're responsible for your own hip-hop, your own fun, your own ownership, then you'll be able to join the club. And there's enough for everyone in that club. In the ownership club, there's enough room for everybody.
Speaking of ownership, shout out to my man BT, Brian Thomas, owner and producer here at ATL Podcast Network.
Man. Big up.
This is powerful, man.
And speaking of ownership, just I won't get out of this, but he even started that because he wanted to give a voice.
Uh-huh.
he said, I got all these dope people around me, and let's create a voice, an opportunity, a platform for these people.
I feel like I'm a hot 9-7 right now.
Bro, you don't understand. Like, I feel so hard to be here.
And when I probably get the hot 9-7, I'm not even going to feel like this.
No. For real. Nah, you just
in all honesty.
Real.
It's like you're having a real conversation right now. Heart to heart conversation. So you feel that energy. Go to Reddit. It's just a business. Plug your album real quick. All right, bet.
Keep it moving.
Have a good day.
But
it's awesome. It's
so again, we said the jump ball was, are we losing the culture due to lack of respect? And I think we've come out of it is that we're not losing.
We're not losing.
We're winning.
We're
winning within the culture.
Yeah.
It's the people that are on the outside of the game looking in who don't even understand it.
They're losing.
And it's people, and it's the people. It's our responsibility within the culture to continue the ownership game.
Continue the
ownership game. We own what we're doing. We own the culture and teach somebody else.
Exactly.
Share it. Don't hold it to yourself. Like you said, it's room.
Yeah.
Don't hold it to yourself.
Let me give someone a secret. Mm-hmm. If you want to master something, teach it.
I was taught that if you once you can teach it, you really know it. That's what somebody told you. If you can teach it, you know it. So if you want to master something, teach it. You heard that from Cellini, man. We got to get ready. We're going to get ready to get up out of here. Everybody that's listening to the ATL Podcast Network, give them your Instagram.
So follow me on Instagram, Odane Music, Twitter, everywhere, same. All across the board.
Cellini, if they want to have conversations with you, they might have questions. They a wealth of knowledge, man. They want to talk to you. How do they find you on social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that?
Well, my face is a coupon, so if you see me, you see me in the street. But there's a good chance that you will see me Wednesday at Andretti's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm usually by the bar.
Pull up.
You know, pull up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't bite. Like we actually talk and break bread. And that's how maybe I'm just a throwback, but that's how we do it.
Indeed.
You know, it's good to see. I got to see your energy, you know.
See, it's worth, if you're worth this conversation. Follow me, Jason804, Instagram, Twitter, Jason804 brand on Facebook. Please go by the brand page. You say you miss things. Make sure you go by that
and
page.
And one more thing. I just want to tell all the listeners out there, you know, definitely check out OG Odane Gibson. Tomorrow we're going to be releasing his first video for Right Now. I think you've seen the clips of it. So I'm very excited, like, you know, rolling out at least episode one. And there's more to come.
I don't know when you guys are listening to this podcast, but now that you're listening to the podcast, go make sure you go out there and search for Odane Music.
Right now.
Make sure Odane Gibson's new video as well, man. Listen to me on every single Monday, IBNX Radio, iHeart Radio, JC Squared on the air. Shout out to my homies and brothers and partners on the show, Hov, Pedro, and Future One. Make sure you check out all the shows here on ATL Podcast.
And watch
Network,
it
man.
All the way to the end. It gets better at the end.
It gets better. It always gets better, man. Continue to pay attention again, ATLPN.com. Jason Adolfo, we got to get out of here. ATL Podcast Network.
Bless. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.